Give me that microphone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle, or the MUA Chronicle. My name is Julia. I am your host. And this week, I'm doing a little bit of traveling. I'm in the Great Lakes area, just kind of taking a little foresty cabin in the woods trip away. Minimal beauty, but my allergies are out of control, hence the voice. Luckily, I recorded this week's interview with the Alper sisters before I left. And honestly, it was one of the most amazing conversations. So Maddie and Alana are a hair and makeup artist duo. They are sisters. They are based in Canada. And for today's conversation, they shared with me their journey of getting into the industry, getting an agent, some of the best jobs they've had, some of the hardest jobs that they've had. And also they talk about their favorite beauty tips, tricks, products, and whether you're a beauty enthusiast or someone who wants to enter the industry, they have advice that they share. And this was such a fun conversation. So I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed having it with the Alper sisters. Here we go.
There we go.
Awesome. Yay. Awesome. I am so excited to have the Alper sisters, Alana and Maddie, here to talk about their journey as a makeup artist and hairstylist in the industry. Welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We're super excited.
Thank you for being here. I know we had a little bit of a conversation before we started recording of just like how the industry is a little bit more glamorously shown than it might be for those of us working in it. But I would love to just, before we get into that, start at the very beginning and know your journeys of how did you get into this space? And then also what made you choose to go into it together?
Okay. So I would say, so I think my whole life as a kid growing up, I was always fascinated by fashion, and red carpet glamour was like the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. Like watching the Oscars, it was like my favorite thing to do, because I would sit there and just like see, oh, like she has that makeup on. She's like, she, you know, that's her dress. And she did that to match the look. And I was always fascinated. Mm-hmm. I always thought I'd go into fashion, but at a young age, my mom's friend bought me my first makeup kit. And I remember putting eyeliner on for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, I've never felt more beautiful in my entire life. And like, I was an awkward looking kid. I took a while to grow into myself
fast.
Mm-hmm. So from that moment on, like, and I think Maddie could say, like, I was constantly in my mom's makeup drawer.
Yeah,
I was like, every day after school, I'd run, put makeup on, I'd pretend to give my dolls makeovers. So like, it was in me from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. And I was a complete tomboy growing up. She would force me. She'd be like, I'm putting makeup on you.
Yeah, I'd force her to let me put makeup on her, and she'd be so angry about it.
I'm really not down for it, but you're 13 months older. So I you're, you know, I guess like it, I have to.
Yeah, I'm the big sister. So she had no choice. So at 21, I took a little bit of time to kind of like get, I guess, like exploring life out of my system before I was like, okay, like I know this is a career I want to do, and I'm going to be serious about it when I go into it. I went to makeup school. Mm-hmm. And this in Canada, it's very different from the US. We, as a makeup artist, you're expected to do hair and makeup on a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. I hated hair. I didn't want to do hair. I was like, why the hell? Like, why the fuck do I have to do both? Like, I should excel at one thing, not two. And when I was doing my portfolios for school, I was like, Maddie, like, I really need help. I need to do the model's hair. Could you please come and do it? Like, you're naturally really talented at it. So she came in and she would do the hair and I would do the makeup, and then you could.
Yeah. So for me, I had a very different experience. I was very tomboy growing up, wasn't into girly things at all. But then when I went into high school, I think I started to kind of look more at magazines as well, like my sister was saying, and kind of be inspired by that. Read a lot of fashion magazines, got that a lot from my mom. And then I kind of liked to put makeup on myself, but was never like, okay, like I need to do this on other people. I'm obsessed with it. And then in Canada, we have it where you don't just go to university right out of high school. You have high school, and then that ends at grade 11, and then you have CEGEP. So it's kind of like a pre-college, which I am very grateful for, because it's like 2 years, you kind of get to test something out and then you go into university. So in that, I went into fine arts.
Yeah, Maddie was always in the arts. So she was always a really creative person.
I was always really good with my hands. It was like painting, drawing, woodwork.
Sculpting,
like all sorts of that. And I was like, okay, like this is not for me. Like I love what I did. It was so stressful and I love to create, but I'm like, this isn't for me. Then I went into university in art history because I loved it.
Yeah, so this was the time where she was coming into the hair for me.
Yeah, I was going and doing the hair. I have very, very curly hair. So I think when I discovered a straightening iron, I think the first time was in summer camp, maybe when I was 12. And I was like, wow, I was like game changer, this straight hair of my dreams. And I really hated art history. I was like, okay, 55 page research papers are not for me. So it was like, I was so lost. I'm like, I have no idea what to do. And I'm a very easygoing person. And Alana was like,
I was like, you're so good at hair.
Yeah.
I'm coming out of school, graduating school. And like, I already started networking and, you know, making contacts to do like call it creatives here.
Test shoots.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, you should just partner with me. And then we can make this like a thing. And she was like, sure.
Yeah.
Enrolled in hair school. And that was the end of it.
I'm extremely I love easygoing. That. I was like, okay, like I'll test it out, see if I like it. So hair school was pretty grueling. It was a year. You have to log in a lot of hours. And then I didn't find it so creative. So during that time, I would be constantly doing shoots with Alana. And then after graduating, I was like, and at that time I worked at a hairdresser, hated it. I was like, oh my God, I would never work in a salon. Like it's literally the bane of my existence. I can't do that. So it was like, okay, like I need to bank it all on working in fashion because that's the only thing that I'm going to be passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got very lucky that after we kind of both graduated, we had started to build a repertoire, kind of already had a portfolio. And then maybe a month out of graduating, we got signed to an agency.
You got scouted.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Very lucky.
That's amazing.
And it's very unusual for us because no one signed as a team. That's not a thing here.
Right.
It's really not a thing. Like, I feel like in the beginning, even people would
kind of hate on it. People were like hating on us a little bit.
But I feel like people would hire us just out of curiosity. Like, oh, right. are you actually sisters? Like, oh, like there's two of you. Like, yes. Yes, there are. We're each giving 100% to our own fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working in the industry for about 8 years now.
That's amazing. And I feel like, because I work alone as a makeup artist, and there's always, as soon as you come in, if you're working with someone new, you have to find that like communication style. Yes, you got to, especially hair and makeup, like oftentimes you're on top of each other. So mm-hmm. I feel like maybe you can speak to this, but like, did having the sister connection, does it make it like tenser sometimes? Does it make it easier sometimes?
It's very good because we have gotten so used to working at the same time. And also if you're working with someone new, you can't be like, okay, babe, like you're in my way. Because we have that sister connection, she'll be like, you're yanking the head. You need to stop.
Yeah. Like I'm going to poke her eyeball out right now.
I'm like, okay. I'm literally going to burn your hand on this curling iron. Move your arm away. You can go back there in a minute. So that communication and that level of comfort is there. But
yeah, we're lucky to have that.
And we work very well at the same time. We do it very often. So in our industry, I feel like working fast in our industry is very important.
Yeah, they like
so
you to be efficient.
We're very fast and efficient.
That's amazing. And I fucking love that. There are so many times that I wish I could have said that on set, but I have to like, be diplomatic and be like, oh, hey, can you like maybe gentler or, you know, like try and like keep the peace. But yeah, no, I fucking love that. So how's it been with, you know, a global pandemic and your craft being so hands-on? What was that experience like?
Well, it wasn't so bad, actually. I think there was like that lull when the pandemic first hit.
Where like everything was closed.
Everything was closed. But then things started to roll. And I mean, it's freelancer life, right? Some months are crazy and other months are slower than others. So it's just highs. It's just ups and downs.
Yeah. I mean, for us here in Montreal, we were considered, what's the word?
essential.
Essential. We were considered.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. We were essential considered girl. Essential workers. So when most of the world was shut down, we were still working.
Okay.
Find it hard though. Like the masks, yeah. There was a point where I was like, I don't know if I could do this. 15-hour days in the mask, like, this is intense, but we got used to it in the end. But
I mean, one of the first jobs we went back to was in the summer, so maybe it stopped. The lockdown happened in March, and then maybe June or July we were back, and there were 6 models, and we assumed that it'd be very natural because there were so many models at once, and they'd be divvied out, but the client was didn't really communicate well, and it was literally like all the models were there at the same time. Each model had 3 looks. We were like, oh, like couldn't handle it. We were like,
and it was just the 2 of you.
We had one assistant, but it's we had an assistant, but that doesn't matter. There's video, photo going on at the same set, but it's like, it's better to prepare knowing you have to do like 9 looks in total.
Yeah,
like you need to divide your brushes and make sure you have everything. Like it was COVID,
and they wanted like really over the top looks. I was like, oh my god, I have to think about all these looks to do on the spot.
Insane.
We were really,
but
like,
that's the industry, right? Like, there's gonna be clients that are just not as organized.
Yeah,
would you say you kind of just have to know how to like work with it in the moment?
Yeah, that's. When I went to makeup school, the biggest thing that they kept like pounding into my brain was like, you are not going to get it perfect. Like whether it's the job, whether it's the makeup, like you need to worry less about nailing it and more about like being agile in the moment and like fixing shit as it comes up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because I'm sure you've dealt with this. You have a client, they send you a whole board. Mm-hmm. You do the makeup, they look at it and they're like, actually, we don't want that now. We want something different. And then you're like, oh, no problem. And in your mind, you're like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah. You're like, let me just erase that.
Let me just take everything off that I just did.
No one needs to know about your mistakes. If they can't see it and you know it's there, pretend that this looks incredible. This is exactly what it needs to be. Oh my God. Like she looks so much better in this hair. You like, you know, this is it. And like, you just feed it to them. And then they're like, yeah, I agree. And you're like, thank God.
Yeah. And I think I completely agree with you. Like that confidence piece is so much of it. And that's one of the reasons that I love this work. Sometimes it could be an annoying part of the work, but mostly I love it is the collaboration. Like truly it feels like everyone has a voice. Sometimes they don't listen to your voice, but when they do, it's like, oh, that's mine and more than just what I did with my hands.
I think, I mean, I don't know how it is in California, but I think most clients here in Montreal, and I feel like the industry is much smaller here. Mm-hmm. They're quite open to our opinion.
Yep.
I mean, I have had some instances where like, you know, I've had a client like say, speak to my agent and just be like, they're, you know, they felt the need to insert their opinion on this topic where it wasn't like, we don't want it.
Wow.
And that has happened. But for the most part, they're quite open here. I feel like it's maybe the same.
Yeah, it is. It is the same just in terms of like the type of job, right? The more indie jobs, like everyone's like, what do you think? This is the vision. Like how can it all come together? And then the ones that are like maybe union based or like a little bit more. More film or like where the egos live a little bit more. Especially
Someone who's been in the industry for 30 years and they're like, oh no, this brand's falling behind a little bit. I need to like show some ego and like, but I feel like all the newer companies are so much more open, even people who have been in the industry longer, but are just confident within themselves are a lot more open.
Yeah. So, so 6 models, 3 different looks, 18 looks, in one shoot for 3 people to do. Insane. Insane. Is that your craziest story or have there been other moments where you're like, I can't believe I lived through that? And I came out of that unscathed.
There was one shoot for Maddie. I wasn't on it.
Yeah.
I don't think we could say the name.
I did.
But it was for her. She was like, I cannot believe that this was my last 3 days. Like,
I did a 4-day, I believe it was a 4-day shoot. I was doing hair for this very large, very, very large worldwide brand. And the whole thing was very disorganized, 14-hour days, miscommunications, like egos. I cried. it was a it was an experience, and it was, I was very happy to have the job, but I've never had an experience like that in my life.
Yeah.
It was bad.
But just to, you know, clarify that job with all the looks, we actually, they are still a client of ours, and we love them.
Amazing.
And they're very, very nice, and they are a lot more organized now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, do you get most of your jobs through your agent or other ways?
So when it comes to more fashion-based work, mm-hmm. it's through our agent. Mm-hmm. We do take personal clients as well, and that would be more, that's more word of mouth, because we don't really promote that.
Yep.
So someone could have their makeup done for an event and be like, oh, who did it? And word gets out. And
yeah, no, I love that. Okay. Very, very cool. So we talked gateway products, eyeliner, hair straightener. It was a mascara for me. I robbed.
The eyeliner, I have to say, it lived on my eyes for quite a long time. And I'm happy that I'm no longer in that phase.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a crutch. Like I needed it to feel confident.
Okay.
And I think as a makeup artist, it's important to promote being confident in your own skin. You don't need makeup to look better. It's how you truly feel on the inside, you know?
100%. We were talking about this, how like, even though this is our craft and we do this on other people, like when it comes to ourselves, we're just like, I don't have time. I'm like, no. I have other priorities.
It's so past those year. I was going to say, I don't think I put makeup on once to go to work. Like I literally concealed my under eyes.
I did brows. I put on makeup every time I've gone to work.
You can even
see it now. If I always wear eyeliner, it's just like my thing. I always wear it. I feel like if I'm feeling or looking tired, even if there's no makeup on my face, if I have eyeliner on, people are like, you're killing it.
Well, just to clarify to people listening, it's a winged liner.
Yes.
So it's, it's just a little brown cat eye.
I love it.
And always eyebrows, very important. But then again, I do hair all the time. I do not do my own hair.
Yeah. I think it's like the thing that you're, it's like work versus pleasure. It's that balance of like, I do this thing all the time. Like I don't want to be bothered sometimes to do it on myself. Yeah. So gateway products, but what about like, what are you loving right now? Like if you are like, there is this product, the world needs to know about it. We need to talk about it.
A product that I'm obsessed with right now, it's actually a sunscreen.
Yes.
It's the Paula's Choice Glow Sunscreen.
Okay.
I think it is. It's literally changed my life.
It's a moisturizer sunscreen hybrid.
But it
is really nice.
It makes your skin so luminous and plump and healthy looking. I'm very pale. I've always been into sunscreen, but I'm like excited to put it on every day, especially now that it's summer, working outside all the time. I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
Amazing. I love sunscreen on this show. I'm always preaching. I will catch myself just being like, okay, rein it back with the sunscreen, because I'm always like, you guys, if you wear anything at all, please let it be sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, skincare first. Like if you're not taking care of your skin, makeup's not going to sit well on it.
If you're doing skincare at night and you're not wearing sunscreen during the day, why are you doing skincare at night?
100%.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. And that's what I thought of earlier when you were like, oh, when the client asks you to like change the vision, you have to take everything off. I just remembered like all of the prep that we do on the skin and the time and effort that takes before we even put a base on. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no. All right. Paula's Choice sunscreen. Anything else we're loving at the moment?
I mean, I could tell you my go-tos that are like my everyday essentials.
Yes.
And then I have some new stuff in my kit that I'm loving too. But okay. So the Kosas concealer.
Yes.
Obsessed. I tried to go to the Ilia.
Yeah, that's her.
I tried to go over to the Ilia and I was like, this just does not compare.
Wow. So
I know, and a lot of people love it, but I'm not a foundation girl. Even when I do clients, I love a thin base. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go in extra with concealer and build.
Yep.
For the Ilia, it just didn't have that coverage for me. Like it was too, like even on my under eyes, like I wasn't getting the coverage I wanted.
Yep.
So I went back to the Kosas. The Ilia mascara is fucking incredible.
Okay. All right. I love
huge
it.
Fan.
Yeah.
The Patrick Ta contour bronzer, little new quad is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that.
The Tower have you tried his like the body shimmer?
Yes,
oil?
I have. It's great.
Do you love it? Okay. All right.
My cap kind of got busted.
Okay.
Which is annoying because it's a spray. Yeah. But it was a really nice product.
Oh.
Yeah.
I realize that. Yeah, no, I've been like eyeballing it hard lately. Yeah. Sorry, go on. What else? Yeah,
because like sometimes I want that body glow and it's just easy, like, you know, spritz.
I have to say though, we use it more for bride than on photo shoot because it's an oil-based product. You don't necessarily want to mix that with clothes.
Yep. Yep.
You have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tower 28 cream blushes.
Ooh.
Fantastic product. Yeah. Fantastic. I'm loving the Makeup by Mario products.
Okay.
This stuff is really good. The metallic bold, like there's like a palette with metallics in it. It's fucking stunning.
Amazing.
And his matte palette I use constantly. I'm always using it.
I've had people ask me about his line and I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but now I'm going to have to.
Great product.
When a product is made by a true makeup artist, it really hits
you
different.
You can't go. Yeah, it just hits. You're right. It hits different.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I think MAC Studio Fix Powder Foundations. I need to have at least 3 shades in my kit.
Yep.
The NARS Radiant Creamy Concealer and Soft Matte Concealers are staples in my kit.
Yep.
What else? I would say those are like my go-tos. Yeah.
So funny that like as a hairstylist, I'm like, this sunscreen. I really do feel like with hair products, you can honestly make anything work.
Yeah.
I find some stuff that I might have in my kit is a lot more expensive than a normal person should have. Like I get so many girls asking me about the Dyson and I'm like, you don't need the Dyson.
Mm-hmm.
You blow dry your hair once a month.
Okay. Heads up. The Beach Waver just dropped a Dyson dupe.
Like of what? Like the blow dryer of the era?
The blow dryer.
Okay, well, I'll look into that because I've had 2 Dyson blow dryers. They both broke immediately.
Really?
It's for carrying it around in your kit with transport. Yeah. I wasn't even using it on myself. I was using it in my kit. Like completely both of them broke. And then I was like, this is too much for me. They sent me a second one. And I'm like, I don't want to go through getting a third one. It's just not that good of a blow dryer for me.
Yeah.
But unless Dyson hears this, then I would love your blow dryer.
Send me all the shit. Yeah.
You know what product is necessary for every makeup artist to have?
What?
The Fenty, it's the pressed Fenty powder.
Oh.
It's like a blotting. Yes. It's like the blotting powder.
Mm-hmm.
It is just so essential because you could apply and apply and apply and it'll never cake up.
It's good on every skin tone.
And it works on every skin tone. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. People are always like, how do I make my makeup last longer? And I'm like, you have to touch up.
Yeah.
That powder is incredible for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Yeah, and just to go back, check out the Beach Waver because it's only like, I believe it's like 1 pound.
Oh,
I think you guys are in kilos, so I don't know what the conversion is, but it's like very lightweight.
I love that.
Power. Try it out. Think about it. But yeah, I love it. So what if you're talking to like a beauty newbie, whether it's hair, whether it's makeup, whether it's skincare, whatever, like what is the gateway for them? What is the one thing that you're like, start here, whether it's a product, whether it's a process? Yeah.
So something that I like to do is I like to take a very light hold hairspray and put it in your hair before you style it because it helps to protect your hair and it also helps to hold the style because a comment I get a lot is my hair never stays when I do it.
Okay,
and I think not a lot of people are comfortable using product.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people don't like that crunchy feeling or properly know how to use hairspray. But if you lightly spray a section, brush it out, it'll feel like you have nothing in your hair. You do a curl or you do a wave over that with a straightening or curling iron, and that will keep your hair intact while also protecting it. You may not even have to spray it after.
Amazing.
I do it for every hairstyle,
That's amazing. That's such a good hack. Do you have one? Would anyone work, or do you have one that you favor?
I mean, anyone works. I would say you have to find one that says Light Hold. I love the Bumble and Bumble one. It's in the blue bottle, the Light Hold. It smells amazing. It's really, really thin.
Amazing.
So it's very micro mist. It's really not heavy at all. You can like spray that for days and you won't get that hard hair feeling.
I'm over here taking notes. I'm like, okay, got it. Bumble and Bumble, Light Hold. Got it. Yeah. I'm one of those people that like, I am useless with hair. I cannot do it. And I have pin straight hair. So when I try to do my own, it like doesn't. Yeah. It just does whatever it wants.
I find a lot of people use too much product as well in their hair. Like if you have virgin soft hair, you've never dyed it, don't use conditioner. Why are you using conditioner?
Oh.
Especially if you wash it very often, a conditioner can weigh your hair down, make it a bit too soft.
Yeah.
So like you could touch your ends with it if you need it, but otherwise I wouldn't. Like if you're like, okay, I have a party tonight, I need to style my hair, it's going to be really hot out, I want it to last, I would not put conditioner in your hair.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip. That's a really good tip. Okay. Anything in the makeup or skincare space?
Tips or what I would tell a newbie? I think I would say to the newbie, I would do more of a tip. And I would just let them know to really network as much as they can. So if they are on an Instagram and they stumble across a photographer that they've always wanted to work with, introduce yourself and let them know, you know, hey, I'm new to the industry, I'm trying to build my portfolio, because that's how you're going to get noticed. It's working with new stylists, new photographers, models. And the more you put yourself out and, you know, post your work, the more agents or, you know, brands are going to notice you and say, oh, this person's really talented, I would love to work with them.
That's great advice. I mean, that's how I got the Alper sisters on this podcast, as I slid into those DMs.
Exactly.
I was like, hey, love you guys, come on the pod.
How did you hear about us? Or how did you find
us? Good question. That is a good question. I do not know how. I don't
know. What happened?
I mean, if I remember, I will let you know. But I think it was one of those things where like, it was me scrolling through my phone like late at night. So I was like kind of already blacked out, and I came upon your feed and I was like, oh my God, love this. And love that it's a duo. Love that it's sisters, like need to have this conversation. So I think it may have been just random, like an explore page check.
I love that though.
That's the best way.
Yeah. It's really awesome. The best way.
Yeah. The universe was like, here you go. This is what we're doing. Yeah. So is there anything in the works? Do you have any cool projects coming up? Are we getting maybe – I know you guys dabbled in product.
Yeah, so we dabbled in product, and it was a huge learning experience for us. Mm-hmm. We kind of were like, if we're never going to try it, like if we're going to try it, it's going to be now.
Yep.
And throughout the process, we realized that this is not necessarily what makes us happy. Mm-hmm. So we just had to stop that and move on from it. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think we're kind of in a phase where we're trying to work on personal projects where we could be creative and kind of like push the limit to, or like at least bring something different to the table for existing beauty brands.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
So I think that with our brand and doing it, we put a lot of hard work in, and it gave us a greater knowledge of products themselves and how that kind of works in the industry. And we gained a lot of skills doing that. And I think that from that experience, we want to take those skills and knowledge and bring it more into Alper Sisters as hair and makeup artists. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I love that. Okay. Just like going to throw something out there, pitch it. But like, I'm thinking like Alper Sisters, like lookbook, maybe coffee table book. Like,
honestly, that would be really fucking cool.
I mean, love a coffee table book.
All right. Let me pre-order. Let me know where.
I definitely need to take a step back from creating a product and selling it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I need a break from that.
I mean, I think
that'd be really cool.
Right? This summer, really, we were like, okay, like we want to go back into our passion of just doing hair and makeup full force. And we were like, we were a bit nervous getting back into it because we were so
out of it.
We are very 60-40 in the product, 40 in the makeup. We were like, I hope people don't forget about us. And then luckily we kind of just went back in there like we never stopped, and we've really been enjoying it. And I think that we just want to take all the lost time we've had and really just create like things that we really are passionate about. Or
we are actually doing. We're working on a project right now for a new makeup brand.
Okay.
And the goal is to pitch it to these brands and say, hey, like, you know, we could do this for you.
Yes.
Type of thing. That's another good tip for makeup artists that we work with. We work with this other duo. They're two girls, their photography and art direction. And if ever they love a brand, we get together, we do a shoot for them, and then you pitch it to them. And then if they like it,
you pitch it to the brand.
If they like it, they're like, oh, okay, we want to hire you. Like, you need to shoot like our next product. So that's,
and it's worked.
It's worked before.
Hell yeah.
It's an amazing way to
get your foot in the door.
Get your foot in the door and approach the kind of clients that you want to have in the future.
Oh, hell yes.
Another thing which is that's great for new artists is obviously to assist more senior artists, because you really learn, like, makeup school is amazing. But I really find you learn the most being on the job. Mm-hmm. And even me at this stage, like, I've been doing this for 8 years, I'm still learning from senior artists in the industry.
Yeah.
So I just think like there's always room to learn new skills, even set etiquette.
Yeah.
It's really important. If you want to be in fashion, you need to know how to handle clients. You need to know how to be on set. You need to know what the clients are looking for on set. So these are all things that, like, you're only going to learn from someone else in the industry.
So for a long time, in the beginning-ish of our career, we, for about 5 years, did e-com work at Essence.
Okay.
And I would have to say that was photo shoot bootcamp.
Yeah.
It was, it's very, very intense. And I learned so much from that experience, and I bring it to every job. And I can, like, tell if someone's worked there or not, because I'm like, you really need to be on top of it, very professional. And I'm like, I'm so happy I had that experience. I compare every other experience I've had to that, because that's how intense it was.
Trained.
Yeah.
Very trained.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you know, sometimes we've brought artists on with us as an assistant, and they sit on their phone the whole time, or they're talking too much. And I'm like, you need to be here. Excuse me.
No, keep it in.
You need to be here on your model. That's why you're here. You're assigned that model. Be on the hair, like, powder the face, you know? So I would never ask another artist back if that's the way they're going to act.
And I mean, no matter what your work is, if you don't mesh well or present yourself well to a client, they will not hire you again. So you kind of, when you go on a shoot, you need to be on. You need to impress everyone around you. It can be on it. It's very exhausting.
It can be.
Yeah. Not only physically standing all day working, but just being present to everyone around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like with the rise in, like, social media exposure and all that, like, because glam squads used to be in the background. Like, you didn't know their names. Maybe you knew, like, a Kevin Aquan. I mean, no, like,
exactly.
That.
Kevin Aquan, that's a Pamagraph.
If you're interested in it, then you would know, you know?
No, because no, but I agree with you. Like, glam squads, like, the Kardashians glam squads are they're, like, rich and famous now.
Yeah.
Being glam squads.
They're their own celebrities. And
they're
They're their own brands now. And it's incredible. It is incredible, but I also feel like people who are trying to enter the industry are, like, looking to that as, like, that's the aspiration. Like, I want to be a celebrity artist. And it's like, okay, but you need to realize that, like, they, like, so many of them had to deal with the bullshit that is, like, working a counter and like, assisting and doing all those things
to get to where they are today.
Exactly. And so I like talk to so many, like, aspiring or newer artists, and I'm like, you got to check the ego. Like, you can't just come in and be like, oh, I'm going to be a celebrity. Like, you have, it's a collaboration, and you got to come in and be willing to, like, ebb and flow with the team.
100%.
And even if you get to that point, nobody likes ego like that.
Nope.
Like, no one likes the person walking on set who thinks they're better than everybody else. Like, you should treat yourself equal. Talk to everybody on set. The photographer assistant is just as important as you are. You should make everybody feel like they're valued.
Yeah. Yeah. You were talking about the e-com job. Do you think that it's valuable to have a job like that, or, like, retail, like, something that you just literally get thrown to the wolves before?
So I never worked in makeup retail.
Yeah.
So I can't really, I mean, I think it's for product knowledge.
You have worked retail before.
I have, but I think product knowledge, for product knowledge would be an incredible foot in the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially you're working on so many different faces, different exactly. skin tones. Mm-hmm. So you really could gain a lot of like skill set from that.
Yeah.
And then I think e-com, it kind of does because it's fast paced. Mm-hmm. And especially in the hair side of things, mm-hmm. the hair changes for every position. So you need to be on it.
Every angle. Yep.
Yeah. So that's something to realize. Like, you're not going to get on a shoot, do the hair, and then sit down for the rest of the day. Like, you're constantly moving it and fixing it.
There's
for the
so many different things you learn, even like hair continuity. How do I create the exact same thing another day? Make it seem like it's that day. How do mm-hmm. I make sure everything, you learn, how do I make things last with taking things on and off all day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, it's not the funnest job.
No,
it's not the most stimulating job,
yeah. Yep.
But it's a job in the industry.
100%. Yeah. I know my retail gig was, I managed a counter, and the one thing that it completely like helped me learn was the client relationship and like how to take someone that comes in and is very ambiguous and gives you like all different ideas.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
One of the biggest
things. None of it makes sense.
I want a natural smoky eye. And it's like,
yes, the natural smoky eye. That one would always throw me for a loop. Like, I want like a, no, I don't want that. I want it in like a lavender. I'm like, ma'am.
Yeah. Ma'am.
And then
they never know.
And then the other thing that I always got that I'm like, I wish a product like this existed. It's like a unicorn, but I would always get people that would have hyperpigmentation and they'd be like, all right, I want to like make it look like I have the most even perfect complexion, but I don't want it to look like I'm wearing any product at all. So like, is there like a light powder that can just like completely cover up my entire forehead, which is all melasma? And I'm like,
yeah. And that's still like, working with different skin tones, hyperpigmentation, like yes. I still fuck up on that sometimes and I have to fix it. It's not mm-hmm. easy.
Nope.
It's still trial and error and it's learning undertones and
yes.
you just have to go for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is very nice to work on a model because they
tend to have perfect skin.
Yeah. They have perfect skin.
Not always. But
they also are not necessarily allowed to share their opinion.
That's true.
They sometimes are like, you might not wear your hair like this, but this looks amazing and the client loves it and you have to be a professional.
Yeah.
Whereas with a personal client, they're
very, very opinionated.
Very picky, very yes. opinionated.
Oh, 100%. I've done some brides where I'm like,
brides are her nemesis.
I'm like, no, a light purple lip gloss on your fair complexion. Like this isn't a Tim Burton movie. This isn't.
No, it's also like brides. Like, I'm sure in photos, red lipstick could be beautiful on you, but you don't want to wear a red lipstick on your wedding day. You don't. No. That's just going to bleed. It's going to rub off in the center. You want something that's going to just look flawless all day. Your brand doesn't want to kiss you with red lips.
Exactly. The only person that I will say should do a red lip for their wedding is someone that wears a red lip every day and that's their signature.
I agree.
That's it. Like, your wedding day should be you and your signature look. Like,
it's you, but just like a couple notches up.
Exactly.
I've had some girls be like, okay, like, I want to do something different. Let's go to a middle part. And then they'll call me and be like, I need another trial. The middle part threw me off. I needed to be side, like, very intense.
So now Maddie always says, she's like, if you don't wear your parting like this every day, I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know what would be crazier than the actual bride?
What?
The mother of the bride.
Oh, my God.
I vision this to my daughter. You see that little piece of hair right there? I don't like the way it's styled. Mm-hmm. We need to fix that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had like overly vocal spouses? I've had some husbands that were like, no, I don't like that. She doesn't look like herself, or like, she doesn't like what, like, I've had brides that have been like, I love it. I feel so pretty. And the husband was just like, no.
Honestly, never.
No, that's never happened.
We have had it happen before where dads will ask in front of everyone, like, how much is it? And then you're like, okay, like, I don't want to tell them to put them aside. Then you tell them the price and they go, oh my God, are you serious? That much money? And you're like, okay, what am I, like, trash? Like, I am a professional, excuse me.
Some people just don't get it.
No, they don't
get it. So, okay. Final question. Creativity, since we are artists and we function in a space of creativity, you had mentioned that when you were balancing the product side and the creative side, that there was like an internal balance that was not being met. So when you have these moments where you feel either blocked or you can't fully access that creativity, like, what are some things that you like to do to reset yourself?
So I love that question, because I feel like I've recently been thinking about that, because I feel like we've been on like a, like lately our jobs aren't necessarily the most creative. So I'm like, oh, I'm feeling kind of like creatively blocked right now.
Yep.
I think watching movies, inspiring movies, like iconic movies where they're just like fashion moment after fashion moment, could really help. And then I think just like, but like getting to like saying, you know what, I'm going to book a creative shoot. I need to get my juices flowing. That for me is usually what works the best.
Yeah, I am a content hoarder. I think it started when I was younger. I would collect magazines. So I had like 50 ID magazines. I had like all the Teen Vogues, all the British Vogues. I love looking at images. And then you get into high school and then I had a Tumblr. And then now you have Pinterest and Instagram, and I'm constantly looking at content and getting inspired by things. Yes. And I think that helps as well. Like sometimes I'll kind of see something and then I'll get inspired with a concept, and then I'll pitch it to Alana and we're like, okay, we need to do something like this.
Yeah. Yes. We watched Death Becomes Her last night.
I know. It was her first time. It was like her first time watching.
I know. And I'm like, I understand now why people are obsessed with this.
The looks
were just like unbelievable.
Fire.
There are some movies that there's like a nostalgia around them and they don't age well, but that's not one of them. Like that movie still holds up so hard.
Yes, I know.
Isabella Rossellini in a necklace shirt.
No, it's unbelievable. The wig, the hair, the ear cuff.
I can't.
Yes. Yes.
It's really, I'm like, we need to do an 80s fashion thing very soon.
100%.
I'm feeling big hair.
Yeah. And I'm feeling like glam. Really, yeah.
Like the blush all the way up to the temples.
No, I live for glam moments.
Yes. I'm very into it. Well, Alper Sisters, thank you so much for being on the Makeup Artist Chronicle. Where can the people find you, follow you, contact you, get in touch with you, all of the things?
So you could follow us at Alper Sisters on Instagram, and our email is in the bio. So you could DM us, email us, hit us up.
We also have our agency contact in our bio as well.
Yeah.
Check us out there.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the pod. It was such a pleasure to speak with you both.
You too.
Yay. Good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Okay. But how amazing are the Alper Sisters, right? Go ahead and give them a follow on Instagram. And if you're not following me yet, go ahead and give me a follow at MUA Chronicle. But thank you for being here for this episode. Like I said, I'm traveling. And for some reason, when I travel, my favorite thing to try out are new cleansers. So I am going to do a Rec of the Week right now. And it is a new cleanser that I have taken with me on this trip that I am absolutely loving. It is from Tarte and it is called Knockout. And it is a alpha hydroxy acid and beta hydroxy acid exfoliating cleanser. It's super gentle, but it's really great because whenever I travel to a new place, my skin inevitably gets a little bit dry. It needs that extra exfoliation so that I can get the moisture to it. So I've been really, really loving this cleanser. I will keep using it and let you know, but for now, it is the thing that is keeping me going, and therefore it is my reco of the week. Well, I am going to go rest this voice and chill out. under a nice oak tree somewhere. But please go ahead and tell your friends about the Makeup Artist Chronicle. Make sure you're subscribed so that every time a new episode pops up, you get a notification. And hit me up on social, MUA Chronicle. I'm across all of the platforms. Also, be sure to call the hotline, 877-THE-MUAC, if you want your voice on air talking about your bitchy beauty or your recos of the week or anything else you want to share, beauty or otherwise. So go ahead and reach out, and I will talk to you next week. Bye. Give me that microphone.